that connect us to our imams. We can free ourselves from those feelings and understand those situations better.
Exactly.
And this is not a case at which we can be called as depressed people.
So I guess that's a therapy session that we have to sub a lot.
Well, all the stuff that you just said reminded me, I know someone who was, you know, he was a Muslim, he was a Shia. Well, alhamdulillah, he still is. But in between, he sort of lost touch with religion. He kind of went towards agnosticism and atheism. So he said that, you know, crying, like we don't necessarily understand the value of crying until you're not able to do it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because he said that during those times when he was agnostic, like, he wouldn't really cry as much, like, because, you know, he didn't
feel... Because there's no reason to cry.
He didn't feel that much, yeah, in touch emotionally. But he said now that once he's come back, like, he really values, like, crying because of what kind of impact it has on his psychology, on him spiritually. So those people who don't understand, you know, what we're going through, they have to go through it to really understand the value of it.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Arab English Radio, Back to Reality. And then there comes the last question. The nations being famous for crying. Do we have such a thing? Like some countries are more of a crying countries.
I think so. I would maybe describe them more as a cultural thing. You know, like, for example, growing up in a Western country, like, they would say, you know, men don't cry, like, it's a sign of weakness, like, boys, you know, they wouldn't cry. So it's seen as a sign of weakness in many cultures, right? Whereas, thank God, like, in our culture, it's seen as a sign of strength, right?
Exactly.
There are cultures which value crying and which some that don't even look at it in a negative light. So, like, definitely in American culture, you know, you'll see that they're very much against, like, crying. Although it's changing, I would say even they're beginning to change.
I also believe that some countries have these kinds of stereotypes that believe crying is a sign of weakness. Unfortunately, I felt like people also believe this way. Like, they were first like superstitions or stereotypes, and these days people are even believing them. And fortunately, in our culture, in our society, at least we don't regard it as a bad thing. Like, we agree with some crying that can help us, can be a kind of medicine for us.
So if I put it this way, that the emotional nations, emotional countries, emotional people are more prone to crying, would it be true that if we come back to that binary that we just mentioned, like Western and Eastern societies, Eastern societies are going to cry more because they are more of emotional people?
Well, I think all human beings are emotional, right?
Yeah.
It's not like human beings are different, you know, we all have that within our nature.
It's a case
right?
of hiding it or it's how being
people,
trained
yeah,
this
It's
way.
How people perceive it, right? In some nations, they perceive it in a certain manner, whereas because we perceive it more positively, we have, like, you know, gatherings for it. So we see it in a more positive light. Whereas you're not going to find, like, Western countries where people are just going to get together and cry over something, right?
Yeah.
They think we're crazy to do that to begin with. Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to add is that one of my teachers, he's an amazing therapist, and I was talking to him one day. He said that he cries a lot. He says that he cries at the drop of a hat. But, you know, one thing he said that he cries alone when he's, like, frustrated or he's going through problems. He doesn't want to show that to his family, right, that he's crying over his own problems. He says when his own family members go through issues, then he'll cry for them to show them that he cares for them. Right, so he has, like, sort of this distinguished times of when he's crying.
Yeah,
you know, so that you don't want to show your family that, you know, I'm so frustrated, I have so many problems, I'm crying because of that.
He would cry.
Yeah, he
for
would cry
their
for his.
Issue.
Yeah, he would cry for their family members. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he said, like, for example, when his son was really sick in the hospital, he would, like, go and hug him and cry with him to show him how much he cares for him.
Yeah.
So
that's a point of view.
Yeah.
Interesting. So as you just mentioned, all of us as human beings, we have this a crying thing in ourselves. Like, all of us are emotional. And as you just, sister, mentioned, it depends on our perspective toward crying. Like, some of us did not regard it as a positive thing, as a thing that would let us be even stronger. And for those people who hide it, of course, they're not going to have a lot of crying. But those who know, they believe that emotions must be out and all of it must be poured out, they believe in crying. So, yes, there might be a difference in different cultures, different nations. But still, crying is an important part of human beings, and it would help us cure our diseases and internal issues, because that's a sign that would help our heart and mind to come back to reality and face life better and better. So this was all. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the third day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we said yesterday, today we will speak about the customs of different ethnicities in Iran in Nowruz. Today we will speak about the customs of people during Nowruz in the beautiful Gilan province in north of Iran and southwest of the Caspian Sea. Stay with us, please. The people of Gilan province have a very ancient record among the Iranian ethnicities. They live in the southwest of the Caspian Sea, a very lush and beautiful region. They are very hardworking and joyful. However, there are other ethnic groups in Gilan, such as Taleshi and even Azeri Turks. A man or woman from Gilan is usually called Gilak. Among the ceremonies and customs of Nowruz in Gilan, mention can be made of Nowruz Khani. Men sing songs while playing musical instruments and go from door to door. Sometimes, women accompany them in colorful dresses and give the good tidings of arrival of spring. The theme of most of the poems that Gilak and Taleshi people sing in Nowruz Khani are about praise of God and the Prophet and his progeny. These poems also describe spring. The poems continue with venerating the host in front of every house, and host gives them presents and sweets. Dichin Vachin is another prevalent custom in Gilan province to welcome spring. Dichin Vachin is the same as Khune Tekuni, meaning house cleaning, which we have already spoken about. Houses in the villages of Gilan are mostly thatched. Women clean the house and prepare clay in the last month of year. Then, they adorn the walls with colorful clay and straw. Moreover, they throw away broken and old jars. They paint fences and banisters. In short, people, especially villagers of Gilan, try to renew everything to welcome spring. Arus Gola or Arus Goli is a dramatic custom in Gilan before the arrival of spring. It is a show in which a giant, a man called Pir Babo, meaning old father, and Naz Khanum are the main actors. Pir Babo is a man with the makeup of an old man. Giant is played by a man with a cap from rice straws. Naz Khanum is also a woman whose role is played by a youth wearing female attire. The theme of the show is the squabble between the giant and Pir Babo on Naz Khanum. The squabble leads to wrestling of the two. The giant is the symbol of darkness and winter, while Pir Babo symbolizes a gardener who bestows Arus Gol, beautiful bride, to people and nature. The giant wins the contest and leaves the scene with Naz Khanum. Haft Sin tablecloth is prepared by people in Gilan province like other parts of the country. In the brink of the turn of the year, they hang boxwood trees on the door and rooms and spread the beautiful Haft Sin tablecloth to welcome spring. Women in Gilan put the 7 items of this tablecloth and also put a burning light in it, wishing a luminous and bright year. It should be mentioned here that the provincial capital, Rasht, was dubbed as the creative food city by UNESCO in 2015. UNESCO, in a report, says, throughout generations, Rashti cuisine has not only carried on ancient recipes, but also unique cooking utensils and methods. Dear listeners, with presentation of more than 230 foods, including appetizers, main foods, desserts, caused the UNESCO to pick Rasht as the creative food city among 34 cities globally. The city has one of the biggest variety of Nowruz foods. Some of the famous foods of Gilan are کله کباب، کپور، آبه، باقالا قاطق، میرزا قاسمی، ترشی تره، سیر قلیه، کباب ترش، انار بیج، واویشکا، شیشنداز، گاماج کباب و ماهی فی بیج. Dear friends, as you may know, egg is an essential item in Haft Sin tablecloth. But it is interesting to know that old families in Gilan give an egg to anyone who pays a visit to them during Nowruz. People in Gilan paint eggs with natural substances. They used to put onion leaves and leaves of other plants or peels of dried fruits like walnut and pomegranate in a pot. Then water was added and the pot was put on fire. After some minutes, the eggs would become colorful. Egg is called morgane in Gilaki language. After the turn of year, children who have got eggs as AD, that is Nowruz gift, gather together outdoors and call for rivals. The fight begins with 2 contenders. Before starting the game, they hit the eggs to their teeth to make sure that they are hard enough. The contenders stand opposite one another. One starts as aggressor to strike a blow while the other defense. Then the defender holds the egg in his fist in a way that only the tip can be seen. Now the aggressor hits the egg with his own egg in a gentle blow. Anyone whose eggshell is broken will be the loser and should give the egg to the winner. In the past, during the first days of spring, this fight used to be crowded and exciting with spectators around. Sometimes a winner would gather many eggs and eat them in the end with his friends and others. Well, that marks the end of this episode. Tomorrow, we will continue with the Nowruz customs of Kurdish people in the west of Iran. Thank you for staying with us.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
On March 1st, Iran held elections for its parliament. More than 25 million people went to the polls to choose the next members of the legislative branch, which has a direct influence on the country's foreign policy. The rise of some new figures has already changed dramatically the configuration of the next parliament. They've challenged the authority of established figures such as Mohammad Baqir Ghalibaf, the Speaker of the Parliament, who has a long political career, including running for president and serving as Tehran's mayor. But can they change the course of the country in the international arena? Or will they keep the status quo? Sanctions, the Iran nuclear deal, and the Afghans living in Iran are but a few issues related to Iran's foreign policy that the upcoming parliament has to deal with as matters of great urgency. The 2024 parliamentary elections have had some surprises for the country and the world that might affect the parliament's general approach towards issues of international significance. The three of top vote-getters in the capital city of Tehran, comprised of clerics Mahmoud Nabavian and Hamid Rassai, who clinched first and third places respectively, and Amir Hossein Sabati, a young conservative activist and news show host who came in second place. Most notably, the election brought a stunning reversal of fortune for the current parliamentary speaker Ghalibaf. Once the top vote-getter with 1,265,287 votes in the 2020 parliamentary elections, he experienced a quick fall to fourth place this time around, securing only 447,905 votes. The three top vote-getters in Tehran are all members of the Front of Islamic Revolution Stability. Its politicians have track records of opposing both moderate conservatives and reformists, and were the loudest critics of the Rouhani administration. The top vote-getter in Tehran, Nabavian, is a former parliamentarian known for his rigid stance on foreign policy, especially his fierce opposition to the nuclear negotiations that resulted in the 2015 nuclear deal, known also as the JCPOA. This is Dr. Kamran Ghazanfari, a senior expert on international relations, who has been elected as a representative of Tehran for the next parliament. It is said that the new parliament doesn't deeply believe in the JCPOA as an agreement that could solve the country's problem. In other words, it could be an anti-JCPOA parliament, so to speak. What do you think?
As for the JCPOA, the agreements died a few years ago and nothing is left of it except for its name. As you may remember, the leader of the Islamic Revolution referred to the JCPOA in March 2015 in the holy city of Mashhad as a complete loss. What President Rouhani and Foreign Minister Zarif called an international achievement actually caused great damage to the country. As the leader put it, it was a complete loss. Naturally, the 11th parliament was not a fan of the JCPOA, and the next parliament should pay no attention to it. The deal was a non-starter from the very beginning.
The results of the March elections will certainly have its impacts on the direction of Iran's political landscape, with implications for both domestic policies and international relations. Mr. Abolfazl Zohrevand is a seasoned diplomat who has been working for the Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs for almost four decades. He is a former ambassador of Iran to Rome and Kabul, who has been elected as a representative of Tehran in the next parliament. Basically, what are the building blocks of Iran's foreign policy?
Pinpointing threats and opportunities constitutes a key part of any country's foreign policy. We should be able to determine our opportunities and turn them into tangible achievements. For example, selling oil, capturing a market, or establishing a cultural relationship with a certain country. This could be the main mission of foreign policy.
Iran's parliament has a long history dating back to the early 20th century, when the country underwent a period of constitutional revolution. Since then, especially after the 1979 Islamic Revolution, the Iranian parliament has played a significant role in shaping the country's foreign policy priorities. Following the revolution, Iran's foreign policy underwent a radical shift, with a focus on anti-Western sentiments and support for freedom-seeking movements across the region. In this regard, the Iranian parliament has played a key role in supporting these policies and shaping Iran's foreign relations. This is Ruhollah Izzatkhah, a representative of Tehran in the 11th parliament, who has been re-elected for the next parliament.
About the resistance movement, the previous parliaments were not as active as they were supposed to be, maybe because they thought that the government was active enough in this regard. But I think the parliament should get involved, especially in the Palestinian cause. It has to take a strong stance on it and shape effective relations in favor of the resistance movement, along with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the National Security Council, and other related organs.
The country's support for resistance groups such as Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Palestine has had positive effects, such as promoting solidarity among countries in the region that share similar anti-Western, anti-hegemonic sentiments. The U.S. in this sense has always been a problem in Iran's foreign policy. Tehran insists that Washington should stop its hegemonic ambitions in West Asia and considers it as the root cause of regional instability. But will the new parliament take direct action so as to confront the U.S.? Or is there any tendency among the top vote-getters to bury the hatchet? Now, the relations with the United States is still considered as a main challenge in Iran's foreign policy. How do you think the new parliament plans to tackle this issue?
Just after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, the United States took an antagonistic attitude towards our nation. They began arming opposition groups inside the country, supporting terrorist groups and separatists inside and outside the country, and they tried to sow division among people with the aim of pushing the country towards civil war. All these subversive measures were followed by their help to Saddam Hussein to wage a bloody war against Iran, which took 8 years. After the imposed war, none of the following administrations, from the Bush administration up to now, took an amicable approach towards the Islamic Republic. On the contrary, each one hatched a plot to topple the Islamic Republic. They imposed all kinds of pressures on the country to topple the established system in Iran. How do you expect us to talk and negotiate with them without wasting our breath?
There's plenty more to be said, but first a quick media review to give other outlets a chance to get a word in.
Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of the program. Here, we'll go over some news headlines. March the 1st polls fueled by patriotism and political awareness. Mohammad Baqir Ghalibaf underscored the robust turnout in both parliamentary and assembly of experts elections, expressing gratitude towards the Iranian populace and election officials for their contributions to the democratic process. He specifically lauded the efforts of security and police forces for their astute management in ensuring the election's security. In his address, Speaker Ghalibaf emphasized the accountability of parliament representatives to all constituents, urging them to prioritize public interests over partisan agendas. Iran leader says new parliament brings fresh hopes for country. The leader made the remarks in a meeting with the chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts in Tehran on Sunday. Ayatollah Khamenei said a new parliament is like fresh blood in Iran's political and social structure. The leader urged the newly elected Iranian lawmakers to be cautious not to embitter the nation and the political atmosphere of the country. Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized that divisive wars, quarrels, and hostilities, which are favorable to the enemy, can kill the sweetness of the new parliament, advising the new lawmakers to be very careful. The leader stressed that Iran should always stand at the forefront of the battle against global arrogance and added that the country should strengthen its fight every day and never allow anyone to defeat it. Iran says willing to improve ties with neighboring countries. Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, said Tehran is willing to improve relations with neighboring countries. In a speech during the Third Tehran Dialogue Forum 2022, Amir Abdollahian said Tehran welcomes rebuilding trust and constructive cooperation with its neighbors, especially the Persian Gulf countries. And that brings us to the end of this section. Let's go back to the main narrative.
Iran's parliament, also known as the Islamic Consultative Assembly, has the power to influence and oversee the government's diplomatic decisions and engagements with other nations. What do you think the next parliament's priority is going to be in terms of the country's foreign policy?
The country needs to revise its economic policies and take initiatives instead of being on the sidelines. This can be done under the rubric of economic diplomacy. The government needs to have a detailed guideline in this regard and stop acting on an ad hoc basis. The parliament should enter this area by passing comprehensive laws for the country's economic diplomacy. At the same time, we should tap into the potential of our neighboring states and simultaneously establish systematic economic ties with other countries. For example, we can establish even stronger ties with Russia as it seeks our advice on circumventing sanctions, especially after the outbreak of the war with Ukraine.
One of the key functions of the Iranian parliament in shaping the country's foreign policy is through the ratification of treaties and international agreements. As outlined in the Iranian constitution, all international agreements must be approved by the parliament before they can be implemented. This process ensures that the interests and concerns of the Iranian people are taken into consideration before committing to any international commitments.
Concerning foreign policy, everything begins from the country's interaction with its neighbors. Since Mr. Raisi came to office, we've had two key achievements. First, we officially joined the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and second, we officially joined BRICS. That said, these memberships are just the first steps, and we need to turn them into opportunities. So far, we haven't been very successful in this regard, and I think the next parliament should take proper action. If the administration needs any special support, the parliament should provide it, as soon as possible so we can reap the benefits of such memberships.
Additionally, the Parliament has the authority to reject or amend any international agreement that is not in the best interest of the country.
What was the fruit of the nuclear talks? That's our question. What was the biggest achievement of the nuclear talks? What has been the result of direct or indirect talks with the Americans? Have the Americans abandoned their hostile policies against the Islamic Republic? Have they abandoned their hegemonic policies in the region? If you look at what is unfolding in Gaza, you'll find out the answer. The fact is, the Americans have not and will not abandon their hegemonic policies. Over the past few months, they have lent their unconditional support to the Israeli regime. The majority of bombs and ammunition the regime is using against the innocent people in Gaza are provided by the U.S. Despite what they say, they have no respect for human rights at all. So I think we have to take a more revolutionary stance against both the U.S. government and its puppet regimes and treat them from a stronger position.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Furthermore, the Iranian parliament plays a crucial role in overseeing the government's foreign policy decisions and actions. Through its various committees, such as the National Security and Foreign Policy Committee, the parliament conducts regular evaluations of the government's foreign relations and policies. This oversight mechanism ensures transparency and accountability in the conduct of Iran's diplomacy. We also talked to Mr. Vali Dadashi, a member of the 10th Parliament Islamic from the electorate of Astara, Gilan, in the north of Iran. Mr. Dadashi has also been elected for the next parliament.
According to the Iranian constitution, the parliament has a supervisor role in addition to representing the electorate and making laws. In this sense, the parliament should make sure that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is pursuing the country's official foreign policy. We have to ensure that the ministry is fulfilling its mission of developing relations with other countries across the world. The parliament can and should help the ministry facilitate international agreements and accords, on condition that they would be to the benefit of the Iranian nation.
Moreover, the Iranian parliament has the power to initiate and pass legislation that directly impacts the country's foreign policy. For example, the parliament can introduce and enact laws related to economic sanctions, trade agreements, and diplomatic relations with other countries. By drafting and passing legislation, the parliament can influence the direction and priority of Iran's foreign policy.
As for our relations with the U.S., we had a bitter experience in recent years. I'm talking about the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA. It was a bitter lesson for us and an eye-opening experience for the rest of the world that the Americans do not honor their promises and that they are not even honest with their closest allies. I think post-JCPOA, Iran will have fundamental changes in its relations with the U.S. In this parliament, we ratified the Strategic Action Plan to lift sanctions and protect Iranian nations' interests. The Rouhani administration tried to prevent the law from being passed, but the parliament passed it anyway, and according to the leader of the revolution, saved the country from limbo.
In addition to its legislative functions, the Iranian parliament also plays a role in promoting dialogue and diplomacy with other countries. Through its parliamentary diplomacy initiatives, the Iranian parliament engages in exchanges with foreign legislators and officials to promote mutual understanding and cooperation. These interactions can help build bridges between Iran and other nations, foster peace and stability in the region, and advance Iran's foreign policy objectives. How can the upcoming parliament help the government in its foreign policy agenda?
Parliament has a significant capacity of its own. There is an important committee called the National Security and Foreign Policy Committee, which is composed of political elites. At the same time, there are over 20 interparliamentary friendship groups in the parliament. This capacity can help any administration in their interacting with other countries. As a national organ that represents the whole nation, the parliament can have independent relations with other countries' parliament. This way, the parliament can bridge the gap with the target country, preparing the ground for diplomats to deepen the country's relations with the rest of the world.
Iran's nuclear program, a key aspect of its foreign policy agenda, has been a source of contention, leading to sanctions and diplomatic tensions with the Western bloc. The JCPOA, also known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, is a landmark agreement over Iran's peaceful nuclear program. Signed in 2015 by Iran, the United States, United Kingdom, France, China, Russia, and Germany, the JCPOA was seen as a significant diplomatic achievement. However, the agreement has faced challenges, particularly with the United States under President Donald Trump withdrawing from the deal in 2018. The withdrawal of the U.S. from the agreement has strained relations between Iran and the other signatories, leaving the nuclear deal in a moribund state. Will the rise of figures such as Navavian, who were critical of the deal from the very beginning, be the final nail in the agreement's coffin? Should we brace ourselves for any radical changes with respect to the new parliament's foreign policy approach?
Given the initial results, it has become clear that almost half of the current representatives have failed to win a seat in the next parliament. It means that people expect serious changes. Although the leader of the Islamic Revolution called the 11th parliament the revolutionary parliament, in comparison to the 10th parliament, which was in line with the Rouhani administration's pro-Western policies, it seems that the 11th parliament has not fulfilled people's expectations, and it seems that they expect an even more revolutionary parliament for the future.
Mr. Zohrevan, on the other hand, believes that Iran has to balance out its relations with both the East and the West. A key component of Iran's foreign policy in the recent years has been pivot to the East. To what extent do you think that the next parliament is willing to better relations with the West in an attempt to create a diplomatic balance?
When we are talking about the West, we should look at it as a whole. We should enumerate both its positive and its negative aspects. We should not put all our eggs in one basket. It's not to the benefit of our country. Take China, for example. Although the country is not always on good terms with the United States of America, it is the main exporter of goods to the U.S. We should take a realistic approach in our foreign policy. We don't need to be perfectly good with a country before benefiting from ties with that country. We should balance our relations with both the West and the East for the benefit of our country.
Afghan refugees in Iran have been a pressing issue for Tehran, an issue with significant social, economic, and political implications. Will the upcoming parliament have any plans for it? The influx of Afghan refugees into Iran dates back to the Soviet-Afghan War in the 1980s, when millions of Afghans sought refuge in neighboring countries, including Iran. The situation was further exacerbated by the rise of the Taliban in the 1990s and the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan in 2001. Despite international efforts to address the issue, the presence of Afghans in Iran remains a complex and challenging problem, with far-reaching consequences for both countries. Another serious concern for the Iranian nation is the amount of Afghan refugee population, which is estimated to be around 7 to 8 million people. What do you think the next parliament plans to deal with this issue?
ابتدا به ساکن باید اول این سیاست مهاجرت رو شفاف کنیم.
First of all, we need to have a transparent policy on migration. We should know exactly what we have to do with Afghans who live in Iran. Needless to say, they should live in Iran legally. They should have legal permission for it. We should have detailed information about them, their jobs, their homes, their incomes, etc., etc. And we have to make sure that they are obeying the country's rules and regulations.
The sheer number of Afghans living in Iran, estimated as high as 7 to 8 million, has strained Iran's resources and infrastructure, leading sometimes, if not always, to social tension, competition for jobs, and overcrowded urban areas. The presence of Afghan refugees has also had security implications. From a political perspective, the issue of Afghans in Iran has become a contentious topic, with debates over citizenship rights, deportation policies, and international obligations.
The government has taken measures in this regard. Tehran has repeatedly asked the Afghan authorities to move toward democracy. I think with a democratic political system in Afghanistan, Afghans living in Iran will go back to their own country. If they feel social security in their homeland, they will return to Afghanistan. Tehran has discussed this issue with the Afghan government. This is, I think, the root solution to the problem.
Overall, the Iranian parliament is a crucial institution in shaping and overseeing the country's foreign policy. Through its legislative functions, oversight mechanism, and diplomatic engagement, the parliament ensures that Iran's foreign policy is in line with the interests and aspirations of the Iranian people. By working collaboratively with the government, the parliament can contribute to a more effective and principled foreign policy that promotes Iran's national interests and contributes to global peace and stability. That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do join us again same times to see what else is on. Till next time, take care.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all over the world. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. May Allah Almighty inshallah bless us in this holy month, and may you inshallah include us in your du'as as well. Welcome to IRB English Radio. Let's recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, and I'm glad to let you know that we have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider with us today in this session. Everyone, salam alaikum. Hussein, salam, how are you?
Alaikum salam, sir.
Are you good? Alhamdulillah. How are you doing with Ramadan?
That's good, sir.
Good? Alhamdulillah. Good. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Alhamdulillah. Great.
Good. Good. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. And Fawad? Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 57, Surah Al-A'raf, on page 157. Right?
Yes.
So, this Ayah is also a beautiful Ayah, mentions about the blessings of Allah Almighty, the ni'mah of Allah Almighty, the beauty of the creation. So we have a recitation of this ayah, everyone. Let's listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa huwa alladhi yursilu ar-riyaha bushran bayna yaday rahmatihi hatta idha aqallat sahaban thiqalan suqnahu libaladin mayyitin fa anzalna bihi al-maa فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون.
Great recitation, mashallah. So, I want to read it once, but the recitation will be with one of our brothers here, all right? Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir Fawad. And then also, of course, we will explain it. We will pay attention to the tajweed rules. And finally, all together, we will practice the recitation. Is that fine?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa huwa alladhi yursilu ar-riyah. In the previous ayah, Allah Almighty was talking about himself, Allah, the way how to pray and these things. Knowing him, in this ayah also, Allah Almighty talks about himself. وَهُوَ الَّذِي Allah is the one who يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ He is the one who sends forth the winds, alright, as harbingers of his mercy. حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت. When they bear the rain, okay, laden clouds, we drive them toward a dead land. فأنزلنا به الماء, and send down water on it, on the dead land. فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات. And with it, we bring forth all kind of crops. كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى Thus shall we raise the dead. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Maybe you will take admonition. So, may you understand. May you notice. So, this was a beautiful ayah, I think. So, Ali Nasir, Hussein, Fawad, Hassan, any of you can read? Hussein, can you recite it, please?
Yes, sir.
أعوذ
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أحسنتم
وهو الذي يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأنزلنا به الماء فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون
أحسنت Allah bless you inshallah That was so beautiful
MashaAllah
Who enjoyed it? Anybody who has enjoyed it Recite a salawat for Hussein
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj
Allah bless you
He had a mistake
What mistake?
Yes.
Let us finish the salawat
It was
then.
Great, but it had a mistake.
Yeah.
All right.
First, when
That's
he stopped
That's the way you admire someone.
Yes.
Great with the mistake. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah.
So, first time when he stopped at Alma, he said, فَأَنزَلْنَا.
Oh, he didn't. But he fixed it.
Yeah, because he started over again.
All right.
That's not my problem.
Anyhow, he fixed it.
Yes.
That couldn't be counted as a mistake. I still support you, okay?
Thank
yes,
you, sir.
Sir. But one more.
What?
Yeah, minkul.
Minkul.
He applied the rule ikhfa, but he don't stretch it.
Ah, minkul. Ah, this way. So you gotta stretch also when you apply. So good. Any other? You can barely find a mistake when he recites.
Yes.
Good. Let's see what Allah Almighty says. Look, and also mention the tajweed points. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. How do you read it?
بُشْرًا
بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Repeat after me. بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ.
بشرا بين يدي رحمته.
Great. That baby meme, tiny meme you see on the top of ra, bushran, that's the sign of tanween, bushran it is. But also this tanween changes to
iqlab rule.
Iqlab rule is applied and the tanween changes to
meme.
So the sound of tanween, bushran, changes to
bushran.
A meme sound, but when you pronounce meme, your lips touch. Yes, each other. Mushram. Yes. But put a tissue or make a little space between. Mushram bayna yaday rahmati. I'm asking Hassan a question about that stopping sign on the top. We have jim, we have sila, we have qila, we have la, we have meme. So, the two sets of three dots. Also, we have waqful mu'anaqa. We have, so what is that sila tell us? What does that sila tell us? And what does that jim, fa'akhrajna bihi min kulli thamarat, tell us?
Sila tells us that it's better to continue.
Better to continue?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Join the first letter to the second letter.
All right.
And the jim says that the jim allows you to stop.
The jim says you're allowed to
stop.
Great. Thank you so much. So this ayah basically tells us about the blessings of Allah Almighty. Look, wind is a blessing of Allah Almighty.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
The way Allah Almighty sends the winds, the way the clouds are made, the way clouds are changed to water, and the way the rain comes, and the rain is, yes, poured on the dead lands. And on the dead lands, Allah Almighty, actually, by the rain, Allah Almighty, what? Revives, gives life to the dead land. And the dead land gives us different crops.
Yes.
See how beautiful it is?
Harmony.
It's a beautiful, mashallah, it's a beautiful harmony. So anybody who looks at this harmony, at this beautiful harmony, he will understand there is a creator, a designer, way knowledgeable he is, okay? And he's way powerful, way wise. So that's why we call him, what?
The all-knowing.
Yeah, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-knowledgeable, the all-wise.
The all-capable.
Yeah, the all-capable. Everything about it.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Bushra bayna yaday rahmatih. Hassan mentioned the stopping signs. Thank you. Hatta idha aqallat the mad. Are they wajib to extend?
No.
Not wajib?
Yes.
So they are?
Jais.
Jais to extend. Or ignore them. Aqallat sahaban thiqalan.
Yeah, we have to ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Hide the sound of?
Tanween.
Alright, I read it, repeat after me. Sahaban thiqalan suqnahu
صحابا ثقالا سقناه
أحسن لبلد ميت لبلد ميت إخفاء again
yes.
فأنزلنا again إخفاء به الماء فأخرجنا به من again إخفاء كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكروا very simple rules and easy ones. Time to recite it. So I will recite it once, the whole ayah. Make sure you listen and repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, time to practice. Last part of our class. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وهو الذي يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته.
وهو الذي يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته
حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأنزلنا به الماء
حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأنزلنا به الماء
أحسن pay attention to the إخفاء rule فأنزلنا listen and repeat فأنزلنا به الماء فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات
فأنزلنا به الماء فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات
كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون
كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much. That's all from us for today, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. Thanks, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, for being with us in this session. Stay with us, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. See you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio